Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Adequate notice of this meeting as required, this meeting on September 23rd, 2019, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 7th, 2019, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Is not here.
Absent. Mr. Dermody?
Here.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
He did.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mr. Vrowman?
Is absent.
Okay.
And I'm
Mayor Mathew.
Here. Okay, well, rather than a report, I have a few announcements to make, but they can actually wait till the end of the meeting. So we'll just go, it's like a full house tonight, so we'll go directly to public comment on agenda items only. So that means that you come up to the mic and speak about anything you'd like to that's on the agenda. Anything else that's not on the agenda, we'll wait till the general public comment section.
Okay, so it's 7:04.
We open public comment on the agenda. Would anyone like to come to the mic and speak? And we will close the public comment on the agenda at 7:04 p.m. Approval of minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from the September 9th, 2019 regular council meeting?
I'll move the minutes.
Second?
Yes. Yes.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen? Oh, sorry. Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. Approved and adopted.
Okay. Correspondence. We have a letter from NJDEP dated August 28, 2019, regarding compliance evaluation and assistance inspection at the sewer plant. And we received an excellent report regarding our sewer plant. And that letter is in the borough offices if anyone would like to come during the week and can read the letter. But we've received a really excellent evaluation. We come to resolutions. Resolution 19-97, payment of bills for September 23rd, 2019.
I'll make a motion to pay the bills.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
1997 passes. Resolution 19-98, to authorize award to replace the transfer switch on the generator at the water plant to GenServe.
I'll move that.
I'll second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Resolution 19-99, resolution authorizing the solicitation of bids for the collection and disposal of recyclable materials from residential properties, municipal building, public school, and water and sewer treatment facilities in the borough of Roosevelt. So it's basically renewing our recycling contract.
I'll offer 19-99.
Second?
What did you say about that?
Renewing our recycling contract.
With the same people?
Well, it's going out to bid.
Are you going out to bidding?
We're bidding it.
Okay.
It expires at the end of the year.
No, I understood that. That's what I understood. That's why I wondered what you said. Okay, thank you.
Well, our recycling contract is expiring, so we have to
I'll second that if it hasn't been seconded.
This is a five-year contract?
It's a series of one-year options at the borough's option.
Okay.
So you are not, under statute, you're not allowed to award a sanitation or recycling contract of this nature for a term longer than 5 years. Mm-hmm. But the way that the clerk and I and the purchasing agent put together the bid specs, it's essentially an annual renewal. So I don't think you said add renewal because you guys every year renew it.
Right.
But you can only do that four times. So that happened four times. This is the renewal to go back out for pricing. And then if we like the people year over year, we can renew it for up to 5 years.
Okay. Great.
If we had a problem with them, can we cancel
it? Then you could cancel it at the end of the year.
Cool.
But I will give you this caveat. Because sanitation was so heavily controlled by the mafia in New Jersey,
there are heightened rules.
Well, in 1973, they passed rules that made the requirements for this bidding higher. So, for example, you have to advertise it in two newspapers, one of general circulation.
Okay.
You have to have the bid period open for at least 60 days so people can strong-arm people for a week.
Yeah.
Right? Or you can't game it. So there's heightened requirements. So if you have a problem with the vendor, you really need to decide that by the summertime if you want to change them at the end of the year.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Good to know. Roll call.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essipoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Tremass?
Yes.
Okay, Resolution 19-100. Adopting the Municipal Emergency Operations Plan and authorizing continual participation in the Monmouth County Intra-County Mutual Aid and Assistance Agreement.
I'll move that.
Second?
I'll second that.
Discussion?
So this has been...
OEM plan.
Yeah, but we have had this before, the same basic plan. Right?
Exactly.
Okay. This is from 2015?
Rob updated it in November of 2018, and we have the letters approving from Monmouth County and the state.
Okay.
So now it's just finalizing the signatures and...
Has anything changed, you know?
Well, Rob is no longer...
No, Rob is our deputy OEM, yeah.
He just updated it,
it was just some language. I don't think there was really
language
any change.
Language and who was appointed and, putting him in.
The county OEM reviewed all that.
And it was approved.
It wasn't like something we're doing on our own.
Oh, no, no. County approved it.
The sheriff's letter.
The sheriff's letter and also the state letter, too. It went on to the state.
Well, you're all good, then.
Yeah. Roll call.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essipoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Tremell?
Yes.
19-100 passes. Reports of committee chairs. So, Councilmember Bowen is at the beach.
Good for him.
So, exactly. So, he doesn't have to give a report tonight. Councilmember Essipoff, administration.
We're doing it. We're administering the best we can to whoever we can.
Thank you.
Yep. We're doing very well, as a matter of fact. Thanks to our employees.
Councilmember Dermody, Community Development Code Enforcement.
Nothing new to report for me.
Councilmember Hamilton, Finance.
There's a few things, but nothing that really needs to be reported on until the next meeting.
Okay. And Councilmember Trammell, Utilities.
I understand the sewer plant got a great mark from the DEP.
Yes, we did.
And the guys are actually, the larger problems there, they seem to be working, and they're working out that both trickling filters are working now, which is a fine thing, and the water plant with the transfer switch should be a good thing. So, all right, that's about it. Things are
good. It's all quiet. Good.
All quiet. Yeah.
Okay. Reports of borough officials. Michael, did you have anything you wanted to report from the Environmental Commission?
Yeah, Michael Tixon. I just wanted to thank Anna for Anna Dubevic for coordinating the scheduling of the work on the trail, because the artwork is going to be this Saturday, and people in the Environmental Commission and the RAP are concerned about the trail not being in good shape, but this has been taken care of. So we wanted to congratulate to commend Anna.
And apparently also I think some trees fell, but they were on Assenpink's property. So
right. So we had let the Assenpink people know about that.
Yeah.
They've been very cooperative in taking care of those.
Yeah.
And also our own Nick Murray and Sam Ashburner have been gone out and cleared the trails as well. Yeah.
Good. Thanks, Mike. New business.
Old business.
An old business. I never see old business. I skip over it every time. Is there anyone who wants to bring up any old business?
I don't know whether this falls under old business or new business, but up at the cemetery, There's a lot of erosion from where some of the trees were taken down. There's a slope there that goes from the top of the hill down toward the lower gravestones, and it's all nothing but dirt now, and so there's a lot of erosion. There's nothing to really suck up the water when it rains. And I've seen some gullies forming, and that's relatively recent. We haven't had a lot of rain, but I think that that has to be addressed.
By Public Works? Do we need an arborist? Do we need...
Maybe it could be seeded. I mean,
something should be planted. Something should be planted there.
Covered with straw.
Yeah, the end of it to the right as you go up, where the trees were taken down. The synagogue property. No, the synagogue property. It still needs to be addressed. So there's erosion there, and that's a.
I think
that's a borough and state issue too.
Yeah.
That should be made their responsibility to fix.
But we need to communicate that to them and follow up on it.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So come from Public Works could send a letter, I guess, or Environmental Health and Safety, one or the other. Any other old business?
Are we going to discuss those two resolutions or?
They'll be on
ordinances.
Ordinances, they're going to be on the next agenda.
Next month? Okay.
Yeah, trees October's and meeting.
Trees and pets.
Trees and dogs.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a natural.
Go hand in hand, right?
My fire hydrant needs relief.
All right, we come to new business. Use of 8 wireless microphones that RAP needs for the rehearsal scheduled on Sunday, September 29th, for the use of the Benjamin Brown Show.
I'd like to speak on this.
Sure.
These wireless microphones here are going to be used by the cast, or talent, as I like to say, on the show. So they will be reading through. And so there are lavalier mics as well as these, but we need them over there. And the 29th will be one rehearsal. Then there's another one in October, and the show is the 26th. So we're going to need them all 3 days. And I will.
The show is October 26th?
October 26th.
Yeah, the 26th.
So we will definitely need them then. So I will personally guard them and guarantee their safety.
Do they need this?
Yes. Just these guys.
Just those.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Okay.
So do you want to amend?
Yeah, do you want to amend it to the 29th? And do you know when the next rehearsal
26,
is?
26, right?
The 26th is the show. October 26th is the show.
But don't you have another?
And there's another rehearsal.
They only gave us the one date.
I know.
Well, and also the show is sort of stretching into 2 days, so do you need it for the 26th and 27th?
Stretching
there's there's breakfast the next morning, and
I don't know. I'll get back to you on that. At least the 26th, and there's another one in between. I thought it was the 22nd, but that doesn't make sense. It's during the week, but maybe.
Well, we can just approve the 29th now, and then next meeting.
Okay. All right.
So a motion, a second, and all in favor?
I'll move the microphones for the 29th.
Okay.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Then we have the rabies clinic, just November 14th, 2019, from 6 to 7. Not in the Borough Hall this year, since we have new floors and we don't want them to get soiled. So it's in the Public Works garage.
Good.
And Dr. Petranto, I think, again?
Yeah. I'll move the rabies clinic to the Public Works garage.
Second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
This is really moving along quickly. Okay, we come to the public comment on any item at 7:17 p.m. 17? Okay. Nona?
A couple of things. Nona Sherrick, Maple Court.
You'll be able to hear me without the microphone. <doesn't> Thank you for agreeing with.
No problem.
I have a couple of things. The speed bump on Pine near in front of Jill Lapote's house is all cracked. There are no markings on it. There's no white. There's nothing anymore. I heard a car go over that, and, you know, we all know people don't do 25, and I thought the car was going to break apart. I don't care if you fix it, but at least, like, put some paint on it, because you can't even see it during the day unless you know it's there.
Okay. It is on our list, but we could move it up in priority.
I mean, even if you just put a can of spray paint on it. The triangle at Pine and Tamara. There are dead branches. There's one tree that's dying completely. There are dead. That's the one that's right in front of Steve, the Trevelise house. Somebody's going to have a branch fall on their head, and you guys are going to be liable for it. There are dead branches all over that people have put into a pile. I'm waiting for somebody to take a match and light it up.
Well, the branch pickup is on the 14th. That's probably why people are piling.
No, they've been doing it for years, Peggy. It's not good. This Michael might be interested in. TerraCycle out of Trenton or Ewing recycles very odd things. I bring my contact lens things to my eye doctor, and they pick it up from him. They recycle toothpaste tubes and all kinds of odd things. And they give you containers to put them in, and then they come get them. So you might want to contact them. It's called TerraCycle. T-E-R-R-A cycle.
So they will come to town and, like, dispose?
I don't know what they'll do because we don't have a lot. But I would contact them because they take some very bizarre things to recycle. And I want to talk about the memorial to the World War II vets. It truly bothers me that nobody even knows it's there because the tree is hanging so low. And I know the tree belongs to the school. But I'm wondering if you guys can work with them to create something so that it looks good.
You mean, like, light it? Or
no, you don't have to light it. But put some landscaping around
it. The branches need to be trimmed, too.
Yeah, the branches need to be trimmed. Put something around them.
What tree was that again? I'm sorry.
Well, she's you know the memorial to the World War II veterans? So it's kind of a flat...
Rock.
Flat rock thing. Yeah, yeah. So I guess the trees are overhanging.
It's right on Rochdale Avenue.
Yeah.
Except that it's on the school grounds, but...
It's across the street from post office. Helen Bart's house.
Yeah. I think it would be nice if that were changed and maybe add something like Millstone has the Vietnam Vet Memorial. Maybe you could put the veterans that have been there from town and put another plaque there or something. But I think it would be a nice thing to do. And I had something else, but I don't remember what it is.
Do you want to get us a list of all the other veterans in town?
No, I don't. But if you know any, I meant if they were in a war, not that just, you know. Okay?
Yeah, thanks, Noah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. June?
She brought up another idea. I guess now is the time to bring it up. So here it goes. I'm June Counterman. I live at 57 Lake Drive on Spruce Lane down by the farm. There's no lights at all. And now they have nice benches back there and everything. I think it would be very nice if they would put a street lamp like halfway through because there's a lot of walkers that walk around. You could sit there and relax even in the evening and you'd have some light coming back down again. So I don't know if that's something you can handle or how it would handle. There's no telephone poles to put one on.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, so you'd have to... Anyway, you could handle that.
On 571?
No, actually, June means on Spruce Lane. Right. So it's sort of like the Pocket Park right. is one side of the street and the horse farm is
so
the other side
right.
of the street.
Yeah.
So it's somewhere in the middle of the block
yeah.
or more towards the park.
If it was on 571.
Yeah, that
would
be the county.
County
right,
it.
But yeah, that's not. It's on our street. We can definitely look into that.
But you might want to consider it. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
okay.
No, that's a good idea.
Okay, another thing dear to my heart. And I've thought a lot about it. But recently I have talked to several residents, and they've all said the same thing. They needed first aid, and the first person to arrive is a policeman. Now, when they arrived at my house, you know, they were great, don't get me wrong, but they were the first ones there. And I don't know how long it was, because when it's your loved one, minutes seem like hours. And then after the police arrived, finally, they said the first aid came in. And the other sad part is they didn't even know if it was Roosevelt or some other area until they looked outside. And this bothers me. I remember when I served on the squad.
Who was they that didn't know?
I prefer not to say their names at this time. Oh, protect their own families and their residents, okay?
I think Lou just didn't know if you meant the police didn't know.
That's right.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. When I served on the squad, our response time was less than 10 minutes. And many times a member would go directly to the to the house first, because we knew who was in what area, and then the ambulance and the rest of the crew would come. And we thought this was a very good plan. It worked out many a time. In fact, several times I was the first one there, and I started CPR immediately. And that was all taken in the first 10 minutes. I mean, you need that first 5 minutes to help people. But anyway, we'll get more into that, what I got in mind for the future for our town. I think now is the time there should be changes, because there's not enough volunteers to serve effectively. And waiting 40 to 45 minutes, as I stated before, is totally unacceptable. I don't care how you look at it. It's totally unacceptable. And also, checking around, I realized that nothing is free anymore. You know, we said we have a free squad. Well, nothing's free anymore. I realized finally that the borough now pays like something like $20,000 a year to the squad, and, you know, great. They also pay the insurance on each EMT or each squad member. You know, that's a nice healthy chunk. The other healthy chunk of money is they pay for the ambulance. And if it gets into a wreck or whatever, I'm sure you can't read their blanket policy. I'm not sure
I'm not
just
sure
how that
we
goes.
Pay for the ambulances, Jim.
But that you could check on, okay? Plus, they do ask all the residents for more money. And, of course, we used to do the same thing, but we got out and walked around like a bunch of people and checked it, you know, and collected it, and we formed a bond between us and them. But those days are gone. We really need to have the council, I believe, consider this a high priority project and take it immediately to action to have a paid squad to serve our community 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I did serve for 25 years, and I know times have changed. You can't get people to come out and give all that time free, because it costs money to go to EMT and keep doing it. I know. I was the instructor. I had to do the same thing. So I think it's time you guys really got into it and got us a paid squad. I don't care where, how, or what, but we need protection. And I feel, and unfortunately I know, we don't have that anymore. Because that's what happened in my house. That's what woke me up. If I didn't know CPR, if I was not an ex-trained EMT, I was one of the first in New Jersey to go through. and actually, I was the second. My husband and Bill Jelnick was the first ones to go through. I was the second one. But you always remember it. You may not have that card that says you're certified, but you always remember. And I think we really need to, and we'll work together on this at some point, how we can help people in the community. Thank you.
I just want to tell you, June, it is a high priority for the council, for the mayor and council. We're working on it
daily. Okay, I appreciate that, yes. Thank you.
Do you
want
to ask her something?
June?
Yes?
My understanding of your scenario was that the two fire people came.
Oh, let's not get into like a personal.
No,
I thought you had a general.
I'm going to save that for later.
Right.
We'll get together.
No, I was going to ask
you. Okay.
It was not relative to. Never mind.
Okay.
No, I just want the council to understand that we need coverage in the community.
Right.
Anyone else like to come? Bill?
I wasn't going to speak, but I heard Jim, and I was going to say something. Oh, I wasn't wrong. I'm William Henderson. I live at Solar Village. About 2 months ago, I was on the phone in the morning talking to my daughter, and the next thing I heard her say, what's going on? And I had passed out from vertigo. And so they called it, but the state trooper got there first. And he was annoyed because it took, I don't know how long before the ambulance to get there. He said, well, maybe I should just take you to the hospital myself. So there's a big gap in there somewhere. So I don't know whether they have enough people or whatever, but it's not a good one.
We're aware of that.
Who
Thank
showed
you,
up?
Bill.
Our ambulance?
State trooper came first.
And who came after that?
I think it was Allentown.
Allentown? Okay. How long did it take, may I ask?
Well, it took long enough. The trooper said maybe I should take you to the hospital because it was taking so long. It had to be over half an hour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Anyone else? Irene?
I'm Irene Block. I live on Lake Drive also. As far as the police are concerned, they're dispatched with every single call whether it's
every
fire
nine,
or...
Every 911.
Yeah. Right, every 911 call. But their response is usually faster right now. And I know that the situations have changed, that people are working, two people in the family work, and there's very little extra time. But a coordination of who is available, for how long, for what days... I think that would help in the long run and kind of a schedule to see where that slack needs to be picked up. I think maybe something of that nature. Because I know that people who do volunteer for first aid, their intentions are good. And I know it hurts to be criticized for something that you're passionate about. But I think the bottom line is put your egos behind you and...
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that anyone from first aid is being criticized, just the situation
exactly.
That exists.
I want to make sure that that's not a personal attack, but it is a sincere problem. And before I leave, if you have any questions about the cemetery landscaping,
yeah.
I'm the person in charge of the synagogue.
Oh, good.
So I will be happy to answer any questions you have.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And she's leaving the country tomorrow.
Yes, I'm changing her
name.
Changing her name, leaving the country.
I know for a fact. I know for a fact she's not. Anyone else? Mary?
Mary Tullis, also Lake Drive. I'm just curious, how do things work? When you call 911, what happens? Like, do the police get notified? And then how do they decide who else to call? I just don't know how the whole thing works.
I think if people can get the 911 call, they know. If you give them the address, they know who to call.
So
there's a priority list.
Pardon me?
So
the County Sheriff's dispatch have trained individuals that only their profession is dispatch. They communicate with the person over the telephone, and they over the appropriate service, whether it's EMS or fire or whatever it may be. Usually, their police are always notified. Police, oftentimes when we go on calls, I know it's your time to speak, I'll speak. We arrive usually way before the police show up, especially in the evening, which is when we're most likely to be able to call and get here, and the police show up sometime later. One of the other things I have to keep in mind is that the police are out on patrol. There's usually at least one car in Roosevelt, Millstone, or Weehold. And if he happens to be right over there in Millstone or whatever, Vesuvio's having a slice of pizza. He gets here really kind of on the roadside.
So let's say the state police are notified. Do they then also notify if it's in Roosevelt?
No. Freehold notifies everybody.
So does the dispatcher, the call is from Roosevelt, does the dispatcher also call Roosevelt first aid? Do they call Millstone first aid?
You know what, Mary, how about if I know the first aid is going to speak at probably soon,
that's
and
fine
they can
if you wanna,
lay it out for you.
There are well-defined protocols,
yeah.
And it's all computerized.
Yeah. There's a pecking order.
All right. There's a dispatch protocol, and it tells him who to call. It doesn't have to call him. He presses a button and reports it. all right? And then it says what to do. It's all tracked and computerized. So, and all these things are predetermined how we should call when there's, say, for example, if Roosevelt is engaged, they know to call someone else immediately. They're not going to waste their time.
So there is an intervention where a person would be spoken to. Let's say, you know, Roosevelt is called, okay, we're out on another call, or nobody available now. Then there's another place that would get called.
Yes.
It goes like
they
that.
They would know that because they dispatched to the
For each jurisdiction.
There's a pecking order.
Every town each jurisdiction, however they work together, has a list. It's like Mount Orton Aberdeen, Sharon EMS. So if you call from Mount Orton Aberdeen, they tell them Bayshore EMS. Then they tell them Keyport next door, then they tell them hometown. And that's my town, that's how I know that. I'm sure it's the same exact thing.
Well, it's probably, it's Monmouth County also.
Yeah.
Monmouth County tends to dispatch almost every first aid and fire in Monmouth County, with a few exceptions. I think maybe like Marlboro, has.
Red Bank as well.
All right, has a police department, and they have a dispatch center on their own. Although, over the last couple of years, I think more and more communities. Even if they have their own police department to county dispatch.
There are people that sit in very specific chairs in the dispatch area. There is one person who is assigned strictly EMS call, and that's their primary. So now they may not be the person who gets the original call, because 901 just goes to the first male operator. They may immediately transfer it over to them, and while they're talking to them, the EMS dispatcher is looking at it and setting things up and figuring out who's going to be called. And what else, whether you need, depending on the nature of the call, it depends on what else they're going to send. They're going to send paramedics. Well, they're not going to send paramedics if you say you stubbed your toe, but if you're saying a heart attack, they're going to send paramedics. So there is a preset protocol that basically just drops down on a computer. And dispatchers today are not like they were years ago. They're specifically trained to talk you through things on the phone. Monmouth County Sheriff's Office has also put a program in which is not normal. Where if you call on your cell phone, even if you don't know where you're at, you'll know where to send it because they ping your cell phone. So if it's at this building and you don't know what this address is, they're going to know. It comes up on the screen.
Okay, let's go back to the regular order, and this way it will be recorded and more official. Neil? Yeah.
Okay, Neil Marco, 3 Eleanor. I'm speaking on behalf of the Roosevelt First Aid Squad. I just wanted to correct a few points that were stated here. First of all, the borough makes a donation to the First Aid Squad. They are not basically paying us or there's no. There's no quid pro quo donate or anything like that. It's just a straight donation. Second of all, we pay for our own insurance, we pay for our own maintenance, the First Aid Squad owns the ambulances. There are no expenses that are covered by the borough at all, except for the donation that's made. All right, insurance is covered completely by the First Aid Squad. Now, getting back to the dispatch and the conversation about an excessive amount of time, When a dispatch call comes into the dispatch center, they start dispatching. There's a protocol. All right. For Roosevelt right now, the protocol is they'll dispatch us, and then within 2 or 3 minutes, I think it's 3 minutes now, 3 minutes, they'll dispatch Millstone.
I have a question. When we were 100 years ago, whoever got to the ambulance first radioed in, and that meant that there was going to be no second alarm. Which is what we call it.
Second alert, yeah.
Yeah. How come they don't do with? How come there's no siren anymore?
There's no siren anymore because the council, or previous council, basically chose not to enable it for dispatch.
I have
the
to
siren
dispute
is,
that.
Siren is new.
I absolutely have. I've been on the council for 13 years, and I've been the mayor for 2 years. We were told by fire and first aid that it just wasn't feasible to repair it. We had we didn't do any research into it. We didn't take any role except that we accepted the
let me correct you, Peggy. That siren was purchased new about 8 or 9 years ago.
I know.
And installed. The basic problem was that the county does, you know, usually the way that sirens and even first aiders are dispatched is that the county sends out a series of tones over the radio, and depending upon the tones that they send, different squads get activated. Actually, at that time, all the first aid squads had the same frequency for radio. It's like frequency on your radio in your car. But depending upon the tones, different ones were alerted. Well, in fact, the tones on the siren were different than our pager tones. Now, stop me if I'm confusing anybody. So when they stopped doing it, the county said, we no longer want to send two sets of tones, one for the siren and one for the pagers. But there is no reason why the borough, on their own, can't go over and basically reprogram that siren to go off when the pager tones go off. And the siren is relatively new. It was installed,
eight
or 9 years ago.
But I just want to tell you that.
And so they can, and it's totally independent of the first aid dispatch or the county police radio. They definitely can use it. But it doesn't really matter. We're all very, very wired in. It's not an alerting issue that we have.
I understand that the members are wired in. But as a former member, I would go if I heard a siren and I was aware that there was a call, not having up-to-date information and up-to-date training. I still could clean an airway out. I can still do CPR. And
well, I don't want to dissuade you from being involved, you know, in this process, but you can't do that anymore. Because
you can say someone
because liability. There's a lot of liability.
That's
and
right.
A big chunk of our budget is paid on
liability. They can sue me all the
yeah, but everyone else is.
Liability comes from the fact that people on the ambulance are certified. They have to be certified.
Right.
And that's what gives them their qualified immunity as a nonprofit. If they went and did CPR on someone and broke their chest, they're not liable for medical malpractice.
What about the...
But that qualified immunity would not exist for people who were casually responding to a siren in that nature. And I know you can say you don't care about liability, but it's not covered by homeowner's insurance. So if you did break someone's chest or put your finger down the wrong airway and you lost your house,
and
you'd feel a lot different.
Aren't you obligated
There's a good Samaritan law.
Yes.
But answering the siren and being some sort of official part of it
blurs
that line. The classic good Samaritan law is if I'm going by and someone's having a heart attack over there, I can legally walk out the door and leave. I don't even have to call 911.
You can.
But you guys can't because you have specialized training and have taken an oath. But I can, as a regular citizen, just walk by someone on the street having a heart attack. If I choose to help them and I cause more damage to them, I am not liable as a matter of law unless I have specialized training or I'm a doctor or something like that. That's the state of Good Samaritan law, aid to third-party law. So there are very good reasons why, you know, the siren doesn't really work anymore in today's world, unfortunately.
I mean, the siren. I like the siren. I would like to see the siren
I think
back.
Everyone in Roosevelt loves the siren.
All right. It was put in a spot that very few people complained about.
Right.
I mean, because there are numerous signs.
There are people in every council that
are
Yeah. Well, the siren is a small thing. I think the council could move to get that.
Irene, we've discussed the siren many times because I think we all miss it. And what we were told about 2.5-3 years ago was that it just wasn't feasible. It needed repair. It was too costly.
It wasn't
feasible. Yes.
So since they're a non-entity in town anymore, can it be revisited?
I have no opposition to
the siren. The siren works off the same tones that our pages, the same type of tones.
Mr. Marker, you say it's not really an alert problem. If you can blare all the sirens you want, if certified EMTs don't show up, it doesn't particularly matter.
Right.
That's really the crux of your issue, right?
Like
half the EMS is in the Monmouth County.
Well, the point is that certified EMTs eventually do show up because we're all part of a much larger system. You indeed were voting on that very system to authorize your participation in that. Now, you know, the way that it works is as we were saying before, is that they'll tone out Roosevelt. You know, in a certain amount of time, they'll tone out Millstone. And then if a certain amount of time, they'll tone out Allentown or Heights, or they'll call, get on the phone. They can't tone out Heightstown. They'll call. They'll get somebody here. All right? Now, the problem, one of the problems that you have to keep in mind, and I say this to the general public, is that every time someone brings up the fact that they had to wait 40 minutes, and that is a horrible situation, no one disputes it, they don't know that 15 or 20 times after that, where there was two or, you know, 5-minute response, where we do get out all, when we do get out in 5 minutes, where we go at 2 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning, where we do go out, that is kind of being glossed over.
How many people are on the squad?
How many after the NPC? There is a problem.
No, I
but the problem. But let me just.
We had a problem years and years and years ago too, and then we had a problem that was I wish we would have now that we had to schedule. Yeah, we had to do shifts because there were so many.
Well, we do still we do shifts.
We do
do shifts in the evening. All right, when people are home, because we can basically assure that people are there. There's two things that I want to bring up. All right, and they are very much related. The first one is, all right, and I don't know why I'm standing this way. You brought up the idea of a paid
squad. It can hear you.
That's not going to work, and I'll tell you the reason why. And I'll give it by example. Millstone has engaged a paid squad. They can't afford it. Okay, the way that the paid squad works in Millstone, and I venture to say probably other communities, is that they have a contract with a service provider. In this particular situation, it's Robert Wood Johnson. Robert Wood Johnson bills for every single call, hard billing. They charge, you don't pay.
Well,
it goes to collection agency.
House.
All right? Okay. All right? Now, there's a minimum revenue that they have to make per month. Millstone never makes it. So they have to pay cash to make up the difference.
Would it be feasible to share that service?
You want to be on the hook for their...
Can I just say we're investigating all of that now. We're researching every possible option.
Every town is sold. I can tell you, on the borough attorney for... Well, 5 towns in the last 2 years. Two other ones last year. Everyone has this problem. There are not enough volunteers. There are not enough volunteer hours to make sure that an ambulance shows up every time. It has nothing to do with this community. It's in every community. Red Banks doesn't really exist anymore. They have a complete paid service. It costs $320,000 a year for the borough of Red Bank.
How much?
320. Now they have, and the pricing is all depends upon how many insured people you have in town, how good of insurance they have, whether they're Medicare patients, and they do their algorithm like all big medical providers do. And the game they play is they did this in Allentown. Allentown is RWJ half the day, and Allentown volunteers at night, essentially. My town where I live, Aberdeen Mattawan, is alert ambulance during the day. And the volunteers at night. And they've split it up. However, you're correct that the private ambulance service, their goal is to put the volunteers out of business because then they have a monopoly and then they're all bidding for the same jobs and their price goes up. And the fundamental problem with this, as I've seen across the entire county, is that this is not a business. This is not a business that you can really make money doing. In the northern part of the county, Monop tried to take over all of the basically all the ambulance calls. And they almost went out of business doing it.
Yeah, Monarch once had a comment where they'd say, if you have a problem, engage them, and they will provide BLS, basically, you know, non-paramedics, for free.
Correct.
They failed.
They did it for 1 year in my town, and then they came back and said, we can't continue to do this. And then they basically cut all their contracts and nearly went out of business. They survived basically for advanced life support. And the other thing, too, is I want to make clear that I don't know if no one said this. There's two different kinds of EMS services. Basic life support, which is everything we're talking about right now with your volunteers and alert and everything. And then there's the paramedics, which is advanced life support, which is a whole different animal and everything. We're talking about basic life support here. And so in my view, and this isn't any paper or any study I can cite to you, but I've watched it around the county, this is not a private business. This is not something you can make money doing. People don't have insurance. You don't get paid. You're chasing $700 bills.
But
people do have insurance. They cut your Medicaid down to $200. Your Medicaid contribution isn't the $700 it actually costs these guys to use oxygen and sterile pad and everything off the ambulance. It's $254 even if they're billing them. And so it's just the question, real question in this county and this state, which by the way, has no, the town has no legal obligation to provide this service. I don't know if you guys know that under state law. And so the problem in this state is, it's a question not of how we're going to solve this problem, it's what level of government is going to provide EMS services. Because it really should be the county. The county should be providing it. The only place to regionalize it is at the county level where the dispatch has already done everything else. The sheriff's actually taking steps to move in that direction. But until we get to that point where Sheriff Golden is able to solve this problem on a countywide basis like they have in Gloucester, we have to figure out what is the bridge that gets towns like this from here to there. Some towns have just said, we're going to pay the bill, like Red Bank. Other towns have said, we're going to try to split the cost and try to hedge our bets, like Allentown and Aberdeen I talked about. And not every solution is right for the same community, but I think the goal here should be to figure out how we get from this point where even if one ambulance a month shows up 40 minutes after the call, that's not an acceptable level of service to the residents. And the volunteers would tell you that the level of service demanded by the residents is impossible with their resources and manpower. So it's how we get from here to the time when we really do have a regional EMS service. And whether that's pairing with another town or providing a private, I don't know. That's an investigation in this council, and you guys will have to be a part of it. Everyone's going to have to be a part of it. But that's how it's happened in every town that I've been in thus far. I'm just watching deja vu. So please continue, Mr. Marco.
Yeah, there's two things to really consider here. The first one is, as I said, we cannot afford a paid squad. But there are alternatives that we can engage. There are, and I brought this up to some of the council members previously, there are towns or locations where municipalities join together. I shouldn't say they're municipalities. Residents of municipalities join together and form first aid squads that have an area of service which is multiple towns. And it's basically volunteers. Maybe there's also career people there. By the way, there's no such thing, the word professional doesn't enter into EMS. There's career people and volunteer people because all EMTs are subject to the same rules and training and so forth. So there's no professional as opposed to volunteer.
Career. Neil, could you speak up, please, into the mic?
Okay. Can you hear me now? Thank you.
Okay.
Not
really.
Okay. So one way to resolve this issue or to deal with this issue is to have the, and I mentioned this to the council, is to basically have them engage other towns, and at our level we can engage other squads like Millstone, like Upper Freehold, who knows beyond that. And it doesn't have to be limited to Monmouth County, by the way, although it helps because of dispatch reasons, and form a local regional first aid squad. My son lives in Seaside Heights. The first aid squad there is called Triborough First Aid, which is interesting because I Googled Triborough First Aid in New Jersey and there's like six of them.
Well,
all right.
It used to be 3M, First in Monmouth and Middlesex.
So that's one thing, and that would help because the real problem here is that you have these expensive ambulances. We pay them, we pay for them, we maintain them, we service them. All right, we fill them up with all the appropriate equipment, and they sit there. And you know, an ambulance that's not on the road servicing somebody at that moment, it's not doing anything. So a regional first aid squad, where volunteers are drawn from the entire region, would help. And if you have to engage or hire paid crews, you could hire paid people through that first aid, an intergovernmental organization or something like that. Right, yes, exactly. The point I'm making about this is don't wait for the county to come around and do something because the new trees that they planted at the cemetery will be ready to cut down by the time they get around to doing it.
Can we not talk about the trees at the cemetery?
Okay, one controversial issue next. Yes. Sorry.
Okay.
On a question, Neil, could I?
Sure.
Logistically, Mary was talking about you call 911 and the dispatcher gets the call.
Yes.
They tone first aid here. Do they tone out anywhere else, Millstone?
They tone Millstone 3 minutes later.
3 minutes. Do they do that if they get a call back? How do they know that you guys respond or not?
When we get into the ambulance,
right,
we pick up the radio and we tell them we're responding.
Okay, so within 3 minutes, if they don't get that call, they go to Millstone?
They go to Millstone. The normal time is 5 minutes because the calls go every, like, first calls,
clock
first call,
out, yeah.
5 minutes later,
yeah,
but
yeah,
they do.
Yeah. Does
no, understood. I'm just.
No, Mark, you don't have the floor yet, so
okay,
please
I'm
let.
Yeah.
I know, but please, you can
so
come.
They,
up,
I'm
can
just
come
looking for
mic.
The logistics. I know the fire department. If Millstone gets toned out, then so does Applegarth down there, as a secondary, as a backup.
Yes.
And
well,
then Allentown
not,
also.
Not always. All right.
Was
for
my
wires
own?
Down, they're not going to tone.
Well,
out.
Yeah, yeah.
It has to be a structure fire.
Right. Right.
All right.
Right.
Or
right.
Some
okay.
sort of fire.
Right.
They'll tone Applegarth.
So there is this parsing of. This,
exactly.
These people,
and
then 5 minutes later, then these people, right. Then 5 minutes
it's
later,
all
these people.
It's engineer and computer.
Right. Okay.
So it's not as if somebody there, has to think about this.
Right,
things.
Right. So
they're
within 15 minutes, three different departments have been notified.
Absolutely. So when you have to wait a certain amount of time,
right,
it's because resources were not available. Either there were volunteers that weren't available, or there were possibly
on another job. Yeah.
They were engaged on a call.
Right. Okay.
So can I ask a question, Neil? So if every town has the same problem where there's just not enough volunteers, not enough resources, so how would combining the towns improve that? If each town is having a problem, then combining the towns, how would
because
that?
Because you don't really need, I think the point is it's an economy of scale. So really, you don't need an ambulance sitting over there for 1,000 people.
Right.
If that ambulance was patrolling up a Freehold, Allentown, and Roosevelt, and say half of, I don't know, another town, or Robbinsville or something, then that's probably enough to cover that area.
Look,
you don't need that. You have too much equipment, not enough people. So put all the people together, and then put the equipment in the same place, and it's a better economy of scale. I think it's your
right,
point, correct?
Right. Simply put, let me step back and give you an example. For several years, all right, up until they engaged the paid squad, we would basically cover 50-75% of Millstone's first aid calls. All right. They put together a paid squad. All right.
I believe that.
The point is that if you had volunteers from Millstone, volunteers from Roosevelt, volunteers from Upper Freehold and Allentown, if they'd go along with this. All right, wherever, what you have is you have, if they're like us, if you have 15 or 20 people now.
And five years strong.
All right, so if we can cover all this in Millstone just ourselves, imagine if we can pool the resources of all of these particular people. All right.
In Mount Auburn and Aberdeen, there were three squads. The Madawan squad went under, and the Cliffwood Aberdeen squad went under, and South Aberdeen was really, Madawan was about to go under, I should say. They did what he's talking about. They had six ambulances, old ambulances. They were maintaining six ambulances for three squads. They pared them down to two. They put everyone in the same house in the middle of the town. And now there's one squad that answers every call from six to six in our town. And that was what we could muster and put together. And then we filled the rest with pay.
I would be very happy to engage in a conversation.
I think there's the show. I'm the borough attorney for Allentown. They would be more than happy to talk to you about trying to lower their costs because RWJ just called them up and said, we're not making enough money in Allentown. We're going to have to renegotiate the price for next year. So I know that your neighbors are already willing and able to, I can't speak for Middlesex, but I'm familiar with the Monmouth County towns in the area, and I know they all are. I know Mayor Alexander from Freehold's got a problem. Everyone's got a problem around here.
And Neil, could you
point number two.
Well, Allentown answered 9 of our calls in 2019.
Yeah,
Mark
Connor.
I'm sorry?
These are two of our ISDs. There's another point that I want to make. All right? And I think it's all self-evident. You're all going to know it. We're all volunteers, okay? And so we all have lives other than sitting in the first aid squad, all right? But here's the important point. Several years ago, when the squad was when the ranks were fairly depleted, several people volunteered to basically form a committee. It was called Operation Rescue, if you recall. And their sole goal was to work on recruitment. And they were successful. I think we pulled in 3 or 4 EMTs at least for several years doing that. So yes, we'd like everybody in this room to come and sign up and become members of the First Aid Squad. But if you can't, there are other things to be done. And one of those things is to basically, you know, sit back and say, what can I do? Well, we can work on recruitment. How you should do that. I'm not a recruitment expert.
I don't know either, but the crew here is the one who's calling 911.
All right. So yeah. I mean, it helps us, and it basically helps everybody in town.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right. You know, what bothered me was the call from my husband came through noon on Saturday, when there should have been somebody around town that could have ran over to the house, even if the ambulance couldn't have went. Because you need so many to take the ambulance, I realize that. But if someone had run over to help me, I would have really appreciated it. Even though the squad may not be a whole squad, until another squad got in there. As it was, my son was there. He's also trained through the Navy, so he handled things very well. But if that didn't occur, it would have been totally different right now.
Just as a point and a comment about that, we have SOGs that basically say that we generally are not supposed to respond to homes individually.
Really?
Because there's a risk. There are a few places. But one of the problems is that if someone comes here and they're waiting for a second EMT, they don't know that there's somebody there. Okay, so now we have SOGs that in town, all right, we generally do not respond.
What is an SOG? I'm sorry.
Standard operating guidelines.
Okay.
Okay.
Neil, I remember, we're talking a few years back, but the teachers, because they're here during the day, were recruited from the school, and many of them joined the First Aid Squad. Not in your time, in my time.
You said a few years ago.
This was 20, I've been on the squad for 25 years. This must have been a long time ago.
Yeah.
Was it your 25 years?
3 years, Roosevelt time.
Roosevelt time.
Roosevelt time. That's probably
35. Yes, that's correct.
At least 35 years. But that's a great recruitment. They're here.
Well, one thing that other municipalities do is, and I don't know if they have to pay them more, but they encourage their municipal employees.
We only have 1, 2 during the day.
Well, that's all you need to drive the ambulance and respond, isn't it? All right. Thanks for the great. That solves the problem.
Do they look for that? Do you have to be an EMT to be an ambulance driver? Because you could have drivers and you can have.
No, I didn't want you to start a discourse, but you can answer Neil's question.
We intentionally get inspected by the New Jersey State First Aid Council instead of the State Department of Health. And there's a reason for that. Our ambulances meet the exact same requirement, but we're allowed to operate under the New Jersey State First Aid Council regulations, which say we have to have 1 EMT and a certified driver, which means they have to have CPR and SIVO, which is an 8-hour class. If they are a state inspected ambulance, you see a big round circle on it, then there's a requirement for 2 EMTs on there.
In fact,
no, 2 EMTs minimum. They can be the driver
or
they have to be 2 EMTs.
You don't have 2 in the back?
No.
If we have that luxury of numbers
of people, the answer is yes, but normally there's like 2 of us. 1 person in front, 1 person in the back.
We also cover heights. We had an abundance of people.
Okay, listen, I think we can all agree that it was in much better shape many years ago. It's the same problem. It's pervasive. We can't get volunteers. It's very difficult, particularly during the day. So what we need to figure out is what to do going forward. What are we going to do?
So I suggest to recap what I'm saying here, the first one is that from my level of understanding, the best solution, tactical solution, is to form some sort of regionalization. But it has to be local, organic regionalization. Don't wait for the county or the state to do anything. All right, it has to come from here. We take charge of our responsibility for ourselves. And the second thing is if a group can form that can basically provide us with some sort of recruitment efforts, programs, get people to join, as many EMTs as we can have, improves the quality of the services that we can deliver. Okay.
Irene?
Yeah. Well, you know what, Lou? We should let the public finish, and then we can speak, because it's really their turn.
Okay.
Mark?
All right, I'm Mark Connors, and I'm the captain of the First Aid Squad. I've been doing this, not in this town, but I've been doing this since 1976. So I've been involved in this for a long time. I understand the whole thing. There are a lot of things that have changed over the years, for good, for bad, all different things. One of the things you were talking about was you got on the radio, you said you're on air. We don't do that with county now, with county's direction. County only wants us to call in service with a crew. They don't want to hear Roosevelt First Aid sitting on the apron with one.
Sitting what?
Sitting on the apron, sitting out here with one resident. They couldn't care less. They want to know Roosevelt First Aid Squad's going to First Aid. Okay? Like when we came back, we used to say, all right, we're back in the building. They said, don't tell us that anymore. When you clear a hospital, we don't want to talk to you anymore.
Really?
Yeah, because of the volume.
Because
of the volume of calls that go through there. The dispatch center is enormous. There are tons of people in there. And there are some dispatchers there for, like Neptune has their own dedicated dispatcher that Neptune pays for because of the volume of calls they receive. We're doing things to try. We've been thinking about this problem for a while and trying to straighten it out. One of the things we did, we went to Hightstown, and they had a triathlon 2 weeks ago. They asked us for support, so we did it. We're trying to build relationships with these squads. Millstone, which we used to have a good relationship with, we really don't anymore for the simple reason because nobody have a relationship with. They have six people on the first aid squad, and you're going to like this. Wednesday night at midnight, they turn their pager on. At 6 a.m. the next day, they turn them off. That's all the first aid, the volunteer first aid squad answers. They don't back up the paid squad. They don't do anything. So that one Robert Wood Johnson ambulance is the only ambulance out there. It's not like when there used to be two or three rigs that could come out of Millstone. They've only got one crew on at any given time.
And they can't afford that.
Yeah, and they can't afford that. So
it's
if we were...
expensive for them to schlep a fire truck to answer a call.
Well, there are secondary reasons why they think fire trucks involved. I'm not going to get into all that. But the bottom line of the whole thing is my wife and I, actually, my wife's on a first aid squad also. Tomorrow night, we belong to a working group with the Monmouth County Sheriff's Office that's working on this problem. And tomorrow night happens to be our meeting. And this is part of the things we're going to be talking about. You're not alone in this problem.
I have to do that county. It's countywide tomorrow.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I know a lot of first aiders who are going to.
Right.
So for my time.
And it's a working group trying to solve these problems. And while it sounds really easy, oh, we'll just get with them. But if we just get with Millstone, let's say we said, all right, we'll do a Millstone first aid. Well, they're only going to help us 6 hours in an entire week. And the answer they gave us, I said, well, what do you do? You know. After those hours, and you need a second ambulance. I said, why don't you guys try to help out? Oh, that's what mutual aid's for. Basically saying that's our problem. Okay. I would love to have people come out. I would love to have 20 EMTs. We don't have that. We would like to get drivers. We will teach you the CPR courses. We'll teach the CVO class. It doesn't cost anybody anything. We teach it for free. So if there are people in town who want to help, we'd be glad to let them help. We're not saying we don't want it. We desperately would love to get people to come in. Right now, though, I can tell you that we're the best thing that's happening for this town. Because right now, you're entitled to mutual aid from other towns because we're part of New Jersey State First Aid Council. It's an agreement we have with them. We're able to do things because of that, and we get things from the county sheriff's office. He gave us $10,000 in radios so we have better communication. Radios in this town are horrible.
So is
telephone. Well, telephones don't, it's true, but... But it got so bad that we couldn't talk to the county on the radios. So he went out and got trunk radios, which are on a lot of police cars, and gave them to us. Any unit that they dispatch, they gave $10,000 worth of radios. Just handed it to them.
Plus, because they didn't want anybody to buy the software, but yeah.
Well, that might be, but bottom line, the whole thing is now I can stand out here with my portable and talk to them like I can talk to you right now, just as clear.
I have a question. Approximately,
June's
issue was personal for me because
we
called
first
states, but
how many calls
do you get in a month?
We average about one a week.
In Roosevelt?
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we have one this week. I might have three next week, and, you know,
really
it changes all the time.
I really think that that siren should be going off.
I would love that to go off.
I
was always a big believer in those things. I was told when I moved here, because somebody said, oh, we got a siren over here, but it doesn't work. So I was told, that, and I don't know why everybody was saying that, and I don't know what the status of that piece of equipment is.
You know that we should know.
I would love to see that thing activated.
Everyone here misses the siren.
This is the first town I've ever sat in a meeting, and people are demanding the siren.
Yeah, I can.
We loved our siren.
I can tell you. I've
never seen anything like that. People are like, there's trucks on my street. I want them gone.
Okay, let me explain. The siren.
Is this like
yeah,
a nostalgia?
One is for first aid, then three is for school. School's canceled.
Four is for White Walkers, right?
Right.
And then fire. And it used to be years ago.
Yeah, there was some, like, national...
Yeah, right. A red alert or something.
Every area is different. I can tell you that because when I started, I was, remember, Shrewsbury first day, and we had a horn, a siren. It was a horn. It sounded like a train horn. Well, the borough of Little Silver came over, and because of their residents, wanted to put a lawsuit against Shrewsbury because they said, your horn's going off all the time.
Yeah.
So
they shut it down in Red Bank.
They said every night at midnight this horn blows. I said, we don't have a first aid call every night. I mean, what are you talking about? But they went at it, and they said, so we disconnected. There was a train going through. They said, it's still going off. I said, we've got to talk to the train.
Maybe people still go on the Red Bank complaining about the air and the fire sirens.
The box system. I honestly think that if daytime is always going to be tough. It really is. And I'm sorry, so I'm going to take it.
You're not skipping calls, right?
No. But basically, the whole thing is, if we can get people to come out and help a little bit, we can get there. We can get people to recruit for us. Yes, Mark, can you hang on one second? Sorry. Daytimes are very tough. Daytimes are very tough. Now, there are times during the day when there are. Because, like, Sunday, I was a duty manager for my business, which means I get a day off during the week. So, I have a day off during the week, and maybe one other member will be around, and maybe we'll be able to answer first day calls that day. Or maybe there won't be any calls that day. And the next day, I'll be at work, and there'll be a first day call.
Is there like a schedule? We used to have a schedule.
We have that
like
for nights.
Exactly.
During the day, we don't. Because we don't have the people.
Basically, we're on our own.
Who am I going to
schedule?
I don't schedule?
Know. I mean, if you don't, then I think the community should have it in service for an event.
There is service.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Unfortunately, yes
There's
and no.
Too many holes in it.
There are holes in it, but that's why we're meeting tomorrow night to try to solve those holes.
Okay, well, and I have, we'll get to it after the public portions. Does anyone else like to say anything from the public portion? Lou? Public? Jake? No, it's.
Jacob Barrett, 10 Homestead. To briefly, something for the council to consider, maybe, Neil brought it up. A time, not I've been on the squad for 3 years, so not that long, but I came in when Jack Rent was here, and I realized it was a special set of circumstances, but Neil mentioned it. Jack is retired, and he was here, and he was very enthusiastic about all this. We also had a borough employee who would drive, and that was a time when daytime calls were almost always taken care of. I don't know. I don't want to put work on any borough employees or whatever, but that was a situation. That was a situation that worked and worked well. I don't know if it can be repeated, but certainly, if Neil's home on a Monday randomly, I'm home. You know what I mean? We're not retired. It wouldn't be the same thing. But that was a time when we were able to reliably answer daytime calls. And something could be done by
that. Everybody's got the right idea. We just have to get together and...
Anyone else from the public?
I wanted to ask...
Come up.
...and a question.
Ask what?
Do you have a question?
I just want to put to perspective what was happening here as well. When I first came here, which was 60 years ago, they had a very viable squad. You remember?
Everybody was home.
I have a question for you. Honestly, was it mostly your female squad?
No, there were so many artists.
So the squad in my town was almost exclusively female. You had the 80s and 90s, and when my wife works now, so she's not on the squad.
No, Greg, we had so many artists in town. They had studios, the men, they were home all day. We had a viable gas station, so all the man who owned it and people who worked for him.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
So many more men and women.
Just a different time, yeah.
When I moved to town, my next door neighbors, I'm going to really date myself. When I moved to town, my next door neighbor's mortgage was $64 a month. So people either only had to work part-time, didn't, you know.
Your house cost $17,000.
Exactly. No, mine cost more than that. There were so many artists in town who had studios. So there were men and women here, both, who were on the squad.
And we were visible in the community because we were so many. We
had
functions here.
Yeah,
it's a snowball. The best, one of the best squads in the county is Keyport, which is one of the smallest towns. Yeah. It's just a matter of, it's just a snowball, you know. It's it's a cult of personality sometimes.
During your time, the women that were in the squad were homemakers. They did not go to work.
Right. Well, I worked.
Well, okay, you were. So, but the majority of them the majority were not. There were women that lived, that stayed at home. And you had a squad, and you had a lot of volunteers.
We did. It was the
economy has changed.
I agree.
Most people have to have two salaries to survive.
Yeah.
So the women are working. They're not here anymore.
And the artists aren't in town anymore. During the day.
CPR, I could do it, but I would need help getting up.
Is there anyone else from the public who would like to say something?
I just want to give one more point, just so everybody gives you some blood that might give you some satisfaction. English Town went out the first day of has 80 members.
80? Maybe you should go there. 80? 0. Can I have one more thing? Those are the biggest spots. And see if they would be interested.
You can do that.
Thank you for I'll print the flyers.
I appreciate your offer. You can do that. We're good with that.
I mean,
we've only got so many hours.
All right, I'm gonna close the public. I'm going to close the public portion at 8:15. So I do want to say though that there is another option. Millstone. I think some of you know. Not all of you know. So every Millstone firefighter is a certified EMT. So they don't have a squad. It's not a first aid squad, but each firefighter is a certified EMT.
That's why he came in.
So they have... Okay, well, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Millstone has a paid career firefighter department from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening. They are often sitting there with, you know, not out on a fire. So they have offered to cover Roosevelt. They can't transport to the hospital, but they can come as soon as they get the call. They can come to Roosevelt and provide whatever immediate care they need to until an ambulance gets here. Generally it would take them about 3 to 5 minutes to get here. It's only, in my opinion, a Band-Aid until a better system can be worked out, whether we're able to recruit more members for our own first aid squad, whether it goes to contracting out to a paid squad, county, whatever it is that we eventually come up with so that we can have full coverage and no worry and security. This would be an interim solution or an interim... It would be a Band-Aid. They have offered to come as soon as they get the call, and they will, if they're on their way and they find out that Roosevelt is able to answer the call, they'll turn around. They'll say, no, there was some.
They don't make that decision.
Pardon me?
That Saturday, two of the Millstone EMTs came on the fire truck.
On a fire truck, yeah. So they're. willing to, they've offered.
They can't transport, but they can.
They can't transport, but they will come and whatever it is.
And they have all the life saving equipment.
Yeah.
Defibrillators and everything.
Yeah, on the truck, on the truck. So that's an offer on the table, which the council probably at the next meeting will discuss whether or not we want to accept their offer of help, you know, until we have a better solution. To have Millstone come, they are. It's not a cohesive squad. It's not an actual squad. It would be the career firefighters from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. coming here. And it's true that our response time at night for the Roosevelt squad is much, much, much higher than the day response squad. And this is. And they can only come during the day. Millstone can't come. They're not offering this for the 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. slot. Just 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And
it just concerns me with the school and the senior citizens.
You mean
for ambulances?
Right. Well, right. That's what I'm saying. It's not a solution. Yeah. It's only they can do what they can do until a an ambulance would get here.
I don't understand why we would need that, because I thought we just had an explanation that there's already a dispatching hierarchy. And somebody would be dispatched anyway to come.
Well, this is different. They're not a first aid squad, the firemen. This part of Millstone is not their first aid squad. These are just the firefighters who are at the station. They're not part of the first aid squad. They're the firefighters at the station. They're certified EMTs, and they come. You know, they would get the call not 2 minutes later or 5 minutes later or 10 minutes later. They would get the call at the same time as Roosevelt, so they can jump in their truck and get here. They're at the station.
You would change the rules for the county dispatcher if this is decided to go that way.
They would. In other words, they would get. I guess it's called toned out. The same exact time. Roosevelt.
Instead of waiting that 5 minutes, you guys are talking about.
Well, I have the.
3 minutes.
Response times, and it kind of goes from about 5 minutes to 10 minutes.
Okay.
When Millstone gets the call after Roosevelt doesn't respond.
But do we request that? Does the first aid squad request that?
It's
our jurisdiction.
So we would request that of the county 911 system.
You would have to go be with them and talk to them about the protocols. Yes.
Okay.
And you'd have to consult with the state police, who's your police organization.
We could do that.
Can I just say that the first aid squad has offered to change their mutual aid protocols and tone out or get Millstone on first hit during weekdays. Has that been handled? Have you guys addressed that at all?
No, we'll do that way for tomorrow night's meeting. We could talk to them.
Okay. I just wanted to make the public aware that
you have to understand
trying
something.
To work with it.
While I can request Robert Wood Johnson to come out right away, they're a private contractor, and that's who Millstone First Aid did. My suggestion was to Peggy's, because Peggy brought this to us, the First Aid Squad.
Right.
If we're going to tone somebody out, well, let's just tone a First Aid Squad out at the same time, get an ambulance coming instead of a fire truck.
Right.
Because then.
You mean the Millstone First Aid?
Yes. Yeah. So they're coming. Because I have to tell you something, if that Millstone ambulance isn't available, then Millstone Fire Truck's not going to be available either, because guess where they're at? They're Millstone First Aid. Because they go out with them. So if that's really your thought pattern, it makes a lot more sense to me to say, okay, let's tone out Millstone First Aid Squad, or Robert Wood Johnson, whatever you want to call them, and have them come in at the same time.
Monday through Friday.
Right, during the day.
And even if they showed up with a fire truck, if you guys were available with an ambulance,
but that's Joe. They're talking about the squad versus. There's like two separate.
Joe, you have apples over here, which is fire truck. You have oranges over here, which is first aid squad.
You guys and an ambulance, first aid squad.
Yeah, and Millstone has a first aid squad.
Robert Wood Johnson. Right.
Which is separate from the firefighters who are offering to come.
Instead of dispatching firemen in a fire truck that can't transport somebody.
Right.
That's your real concern.
Right.
Let's dispatch an ambulance with two EMTs who can transport somebody.
Okay. That's only if Roosevelt doesn't respond. Then they step in.
No, so you're saying switch the protocols to call them first. But they're going to want money for that, though.
On first hit. It's referred to as simultaneous dispatch.
Yeah, right. It would be
initial. When Roosevelt gets toned out,
so does Millstone.
It's the same call,
right.
Millstone gets toned out.
But I thought you said that it's possible that Millstone won't be able to respond either.
But what else did I just say now? If Millstone First Aid's on a run, you know who's with them? Millstone Fire Company.
Mm-hmm. Well, that used to be the protocol for Roosevelt also.
Right, but what I'm saying is they're already tied up, so...
Well, they alluded to the fact that, or I shouldn't say alluded, they don't believe it would be a problem. I guess.
There won't. If they're not on a first aid call already or on a fire call, yeah, they will come.
Well, how many firefighters do they have at one time? Would they all be on?
They send the entire truck. They send everybody on one truck. They don't send a pickup truck with two people. They send the truck, which is their crew.
Usually, at a minimum, what seems to appear is when there's a fire call, when they come, is at least one, attack fire truck and a command vehicle.
They can't roll a fire truck without taking at least four firefighters.
No, what I'm not understanding is, if Millstone is on, if Robert Wood Johnson is on a call with the ambulance to a family in Millstone, and then they get a call from Roosevelt, the fire truck didn't necessarily go to the
They respond to everyone.
To everyone.
Yeah.
Yes, that's how they boost their numbers to make their justification for paid fire truck.
So how many people are on staff during the day at any given time at Millstone?
There are fire department or first aid.
Fire department.
Fire department has five to six, depending on it.
And then they also have how many on the first aid?
There are two EMTs on an ambulance sitting at 24 hours a day.
Okay. So they got up to eight people during the daytime standing by.
Yes.
Right. Well, it's a big town.
It's
a big township,
to everything simultaneously.
Right.
The ambulance is at McDonald's. Fire trucks will be parked right next to them.
Excuse me, Mark. She said, June said on the call on the Saturday afternoon, the fire truck came only two EMTs.
That's a highly unusual, so I don't know why they did that.
She was there.
Was it a command vehicle?
And
a truck?
And a siren.
I just want to reiterate that one point that Ms. Pat said. That is, it's a big town that they have these people. And yet, as I pointed out before, they're struggling to make the payments.
Yeah, that's the first aid, which is, I'm only trying to...
I've been told, the rumor mill is, nobody likes paying the massive amounts of money that they pay for their fire district also. But
I'm just trying to differentiate between the Millstone fire first aid coming or just a firefighter from the firehouse who happens to be an EMT who can jump on the truck and get here if Roosevelt hasn't responded.
Here's something I have to tell you that I guess is getting lost in the mix. And I can say this because I'm one of the eight people, civilians, who've ever taught at State Police Academy. State troopers are very well trained in what's called crisis injury management, which is basically an EMT class. So if a trooper shows up, you've got somebody there who knows what they're doing. It's not like he's just going to stand there and direct traffic and beat on a wall. They're very well trained. They don't just learn how to shoot a gun at the academy and walk away.
I've never seen one playing in a first aid.
To that point, exactly. We had a call on Pine Drive for a woman in anaphylaxis not too long ago.
Yep.
There were two certified EMTs there, and state trooper got down on his stomach with the bag mask out, and
that is the first time I've seen
it. It's not the first time I've seen it.
If the state trooper can do it, then also the firefighter can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True?
Yeah, but that's not what
can the firefighter provide immediate...
Let me ask you a question. He's on a first aid call in Millstone, and we get a first aid call. Is he going to drop that patient and come here?
They will not leave us if they're here first.
No, that's not
whether they'll respond, if they're on another call, I'm sure not.
I don't understand why you wouldn't want an ambulance going versus a fire.
It's
that's
not. I'm my only. It's not that I prefer one or the other.
I have reason for that.
Let me just finish my sentence. So, no, what I would like is the very first person who can get here to get here. That's our own first aid squad, whether that's Millstone's first aid squad, whether that's a state trooper, or whether that's a firefighter from the department. Whoever can get here first, that's who I'd want.
Okay. But if you're going to call somebody, ambulance, fire truck.
Let me jump in here real quick. Is there a possibility that you guys, our first aid squad here, and Millstone could all sit down and work some Band-Aid out until the county comes in with a...
Joe, we sat at that table right there with Millstone first aid squad. And that's what they informed us.
When was that?
4 months ago, maybe? 5 months ago? I'm not really sure.
Could we try it again?
We sat there, and what they said to me was, we're going to go from midnight to 6 a.m. At midnight, we turn it on. At 6 a.m., we turn it off. The rest of the time, we have a paid crew, and if they need another ambulance, it's mutual aid's problem. Basically meant it's Roosevelt's problem.
which means that they are not going to really be available for the Millstone volunteer first aid squad. Will not be available as it's currently constituted any time other than
Wednesday,
a lot of things happen in 4 months. Could we sit down with them again and talk about this?
I've had quite a few meetings.
Could these guys?
They're the ones who respond. They won't. Millstone first aid squad.
Would you guys meet with them, or you don't want to meet with them?
Joe, I don't care. We'll meet. That's not the problem. The problem is they have to change their thought pattern.
I don't chair the meeting.
How they're going to run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I closed the public portion, so this is
completely
out of.
I just like
at this point, it's but it is a public discussion.
I think I think all of this is really good, but I really think that in committee it would be a little bit more advantageous. And I understand what Mark is saying. I'm really interested in what Neil said about the community type of thing. I think that is the key.
And one of the towns that we really were interested in talking to is Allentown.
Well, I can help you make that happen.
They seem to have...
I can't guarantee you they've, well, cooperating, but I can make that happen.
We have a working relationship with them now,
cool.
They seem to have...
They're good guys.
A pretty good...
Thank you.
Allentown has answered 9 calls in Roosevelt in 2019. And we're in the 9th month,
and
so they've come
step,
about once
come
a month.
They all the way out there.
They, I mean, they should be, no matter what... I don't know if we're going to solve the problem tonight.
Right.
I think we have a lot of different options to figure out.
I just wanted to put out there what the different options are, the offers that we had, and what we have facing us, which I think we all know.
So, yes, the answer is Allentown is interested in any kind of conversation.
Okay.
Yet we're
I will tell the mayor and council president tomorrow night, because they've been working on this issue. Just this, I told you, it's deja vu. They're having this exact same discussion in Allentown. And thank you for your guys' time and service. We appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
I know it's not easy to do that. That's like the least thankful job in the town to volunteer. At least the firemen have a cool bar or truck.
Well, I mean, we've said it repeatedly.
Right.
None of this is any reflection on the first aiders. It's only the situation at hand and what right. So.
One last thing from me. I heard that the siren is over by the school now, and it's too close to the school. That's not the case?
No.
You want the short story?
Yes.
Bald Eagles?
The short story is that the siren was mounted
on top of the school.
Oh,
no.
Okay. All right.
And it was moved.
If I recall correctly, the state law says that it can't be more than
500 feet.
I think 50 feet. From a schoolyard or what? It's a schoolyard.
Public gathering. All
right.
Yeah.
And except you can bypass that if you mount it on the front of the hall.
Back where it used to be, right. I'm assuming.
No,
yeah.
No. It was near. It was near the water tower.
Then it was put on the water tower.
Yeah.
But at any rate, there's a strip of land that what the school did, if I recall correctly, and
no, he had to leave.
Is that what they did was they like leased it to the borough, and that way they could get away from the 50-foot restriction, and that way, but it's mounted in the woods right over there, and it's brand new.
Yeah.
And these things have a 50-year lifespan.
We did have many meetings about why the use of the siren had been discontinued.
As I said, it was mostly because the county didn't do siren dispatch anymore, but there's no reason why you can't hook it up to our regular tower.
No, can I tell you something? I don't think anybody's using sirens anymore that I'm aware of, because I remember not that many years ago, if you're sitting in your backyard or your front yard and it's a quiet day, you could hear the other,
The last one I can remember was Robertsville and Morganville, and they turned that off.
I can tell you that.
You don't hear them anymore.
Farmingdale's the last one, I can see that. That's,
there are a lot of towns have them. It's not as popular as it used to be. But I have to tell you something that I get my first aid calls on my phone, but if my phone's in the house or whatever, and I'm in my backyard, you know, if that siren went off, I know there's a first aid.
I agree with Mark, and I would
it's
like
just
I've
one
always
extra
missed it.
I can't wait till the next meeting when there's 80 people here complaining about the siren.
I don't believe we've at one. It was somewhere.
I hope you're at the next meeting.
No, you have to understand. We all know each other here. So when you hear the siren, Irene says, "Oh, I wonder if June's okay." So she calls June and says, "Is everything okay there?" Yeah, okay. And then June calls Nancy and says, "Is everything okay?"
You guys are blessed in that
regard. I mean, that is the truth, right? As soon as you heard the siren.
My neighbor hope I died so the siren would go off in the commuter town that I live in. So good for you guys.
Okay. No, most people, what you did was you checked right away on someone that you're close to, or you knew, someone's going to the hospital, or something happened, or there's no school, or there's a fire.
Right.
Okay, well, we completely went out of order, so I'll close the public comment again, 8:33. We need a closed session?
Yes, we do today.
Before we go into closed session, I'd like to thank the public and all our volunteers who put in a lot of time after hours, during the day, all of our citizens who really care deeply, and for all the great discussions that we've had.
Care deeply for the town and for each other.
Yeah, and I know this is a top priority for us. Night and day, I can't tell you how many phone calls that we have about, well, you know, how are we going to handle this? What information do we need to help out? And this is really great. It helps out a lot. So thank you all for coming.
Thanks, guys. Definitely. All
right. You could bring some food. We don't
want food. Yeah, we're hungry.
For everybody.
And we need volunteers for the Benjamin Brown Project.
Motion to go into Joe Liu. Motion to go into closed session.
Yeah. Yeah. Motion on second.
No, who's first? Mike.
Up first.
Okay.
And Joe second.
All in favor?
Aye.
No.
Roll call.
Whereas the Open Public Meeting Act enacted October 21st, 1975 permits a public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions thereof wherein matters are to be discussed, which are exempted from the requirements of the Act. And whereas the said Act requires that prior to the holding of a meeting or portion thereof, from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution at a public meeting providing for the holding of a private meeting. And whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in order to discuss a subject which is exempted under the said Act. Now therefore be resolved by the Borough Council as follows. That the next portion of this meeting be held in private session. That the general nature of the matter to be discussed relates to the matter Ellentuck versus Roosevelt Oprah litigation update and Roosevelt versus Hilltop Swim Club litigation update. That no official action will be taken at this meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter has been taken. It is anticipated the discussion concluded in closed session can be disclosed to the public after no further action is required in this matter. Need a roll call.
Aye.
No. Mr. Dermy?
Yes.
Mr. Essicott?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
Okay. So we are pausing this.
Thank you.